We are calling this morning a year in review. And so what Michelle and I did is we spent a good chunk of yesterday running around, doing some filming, just looking back on the year that it was. And so we hope that you enjoy, because there's some funniness, there's some interesting memories that we bring up. Everyone who's watching online, I encourage you, if you've got a subwoofer, to turn it off, because there's a little bit of vehicle noise. But you might want to turn this up, because it's a little quiet. So everyone in house, sit back and relax. We're going to have some fun. Everyone online, just do whatever you're doing. Let's look back on the year that it was.
Fingers here, and they'll be none the wiser. I hope they can hear us okay. Should really test this. This is the start of our year in review. So a year ago at this time,
we were in Saskatoon for Christmas. We did Christmas Eve service at my parents' church, and Christmas with my parents, and then New Year's with yours.
Well, New Year's was me and my dad in Medicine Hat packing up the house.
Yes.
That was a great way to bring in the New Year. Staying up all night, packing stuff up.
Because Ari was sick.
Mario was sick.
So we were supposed to go back and pack up the house and then drive while your parents had the girls.
Yes. So Dad and I went back and we loaded up. We did pretty good. Got most of the stuff. We even brought... The plan was to bring back the car.
It's a Malibu.
4.5 hour drive from Medicine Hat to my parents' place. Yeah. And at 4 hours and 25 minutes... That's when the Malibu decides to die. Like, just dead.
So right on the dirt road going to Matt's parents' house, it just started acting up really weird.
So now we're on our way. New place, new church, and we're heading off to stay at the Kinnett farm with only one vehicle.
Yeah.
So either everyone came into town, or Michelle and the girls were stranded. Which was awesome.
It wasn't too bad, because usually we just came with.
There's a few but the one time I left you home, you lost power for like 2 hours.
Yes, we did.
That was, there's nothing I could do about it.
And I called you because I didn't want to wreck the Gannett's house. I wasn't sure what to do.
And I had no idea, because of course the church still had power. The rest of Carlisle and all of Manor and all of Manor and the Kinnett farm, no power, but I was like, no clue.
Yeah, that was
fun. So we were at the Kinnett's till the end of March, because that's when COVID really kicked in.
Yeah.
And they had to come home because of all their traveling. They had to come back.
And we wanted to make sure that they had their house back to themselves and just following the rules, but
so after trying to figure out what we were going to do, we came to the conclusion that because of the shutdown, nobody else is going to be in the church, so why not us stay at the church?
That was kind of like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, it all worked out.
It all worked out that we were able to live in the overflow section, have our beds all set up. That was interesting with Aria for sure.
And it's pros and its cons. Like, the fridge not working was a bit of a con.
The church mouse,
yes.
We got it, though.
We did.
That was a huge relief
for me. None of his family has come back to visit, so.
Haven't seen nothing yet.
So what? We're there, what, a month?
I think a month, because we got possession of our house April 20th, which was our anniversary.
Right.
So we moved in that day. So yeah, I would say about a month or a little less than that, I think.
A little less than that. Well, if it's end of March and we got April 20th, then less than a month.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then the showering at Marion Clay's house, that was a blessing. Don't know how else we would have done it.
No. Everyone would have been glad they didn't have to come to the church at that time.
That's for sure.
I would have stunk.
Greasy and stinky.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was fun. That was very fun.
Probably could have started a good GoFundMe account, though, by that time. Yeah. I would have been so greasy on camera.
I bathed the girls in a Rubbermaid.
Yes,
you did. Bathed the girls several times in a Rubbermaid. Yeah. That was their shower.
That was their shower, yeah.
Oh, the joys. That was fun. Like, at first we were like, what do we do? But, like, that was some good bonding time.
Anyone ever questioned whether or not living the Christian life was an adventure or not, you just have to come talk to us, because we are living the adventure.
Lots of stories.
Yeah,
that was good.
So, here we are at the Redverse campus, and as we do this year in review, I was just thinking about how the first time we came to check everything out after we had arrived, the paint that is here was not here. The black wall was not black. The bouncy castles were still running. Darren met us here, and we're talking about what was going on, what we wanted to accomplish here at the church. So the girls are bouncing the bouncy castle. We're chucking. The sound booth is now four times the size of what it was, which is awesome, because I don't think any human rights person would allow us to put people in that last booth, so that was good.
Yeah, it looks really good in here.
And then as we were walking out, and we've said this before, but like, as we're walking out, of course, it is customary in the PAOC that when new lead pastor shows up, all the support staff resign, and then they can apply to get their jobs back, or the new guy can just clean house. And so Darren, knowing the custom, was like, you know, I don't have to stick around. And we were both like, no, you're sticking around. That's not even an option. Like,
we were like, please don't go anywhere. We need you.
Yes, we need the support. Please stay on. And that's been awesome. Darren has been...
He's brought a lot of wisdom.
Yes.
And encouragement. And it's been really good to have.
I have appreciated his perspective. It's not something that I've encountered a whole lot in all my years of ministry. And I think it's helped me be a better pastor because of all that he's taught me. And so... But Redverse has been... It's been exciting.
So we've talked about Kinetts. We've talked about Redverse. We've talked about living in the overflow, and I didn't say anything about how fun trying to record while you guys are playing in the overflow.
You should share, because that was pretty interesting.
I don't know how many
It's funny. I kept all of the mistakes of the worship team when we were recording them, and none of my mistakes.
Huh,
and there was like,
funny how that
isn't that convenient?
Out.
That was
so
that was cool.
Convenient.
Oh man. And I did so many like 15-minute like retakes, like just I would be on a roll and somebody would scream and pull me right off.
I remember the one time I was trying so hard to keep the girls quiet in the overflow, and like Ari just let out a huge scream. Yeah.
It was done. Actually, I think I stopped recording after that.
Yeah.
I just started doing live because it was too hard to, like, I didn't even practice anymore. It just wasn't even working. So I guess the other thing is, like, the youth center. So we go to the youth center for the first time after 8 years and after I had poured 3 years of my life into that building. And it looks nothing like it did when I left.
It looks so good.
It does. It looks so good.
Compared to what it was. I mean, you did all, like, it was good in the time that you were here.
Yeah.
But
the emergency hatch window was gone. That was, I don't know, between the two of us, we've climbed through that more times than we care to admit.
I remember when you moved away, I had to climb through because you left the key somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I had to climb through the window, and I remember, like, I scratched my leg. And
yeah.
I made myself bleed. That was awesome.
Ben had the key. That's why we had to break in.
Right,
Ben had
right,
the key, so we
yes.
had to break in through the window.
Yeah.
So anyways, youth center
looks
awesome.
Great.
And I think, well, before I get into that, I think the big thing when we look at the year in review, like, so we've talked about moving and the challenges that we had and just the bouncing around. We got to the house. But Michelle and I kind of came in with this plan of, like, sitting back and observing life at one church. We recognize that we're new at being lead pastor. We're not new pastors. We've been at this for a while, but leading is new. And so we didn't want to rock the boat too much. And so we just kind of wanted to see what do all these different ministries look like, and where can we have our input? Where can we make our changes? And then the pandemic hit. And then life as we knew it got put on hold, which actually, for some would say that was like a bad thing, but for us, it would actually turn out to be really good because we got to make a lot of changes because we were in like uncharted territory, really.
I think like there was so much grace around it all because it was so new to all of us, not just in ministry, but in life in general. So there was just a lot of grace that was very, very needed for us, especially. Like, we definitely had experience and we saw how things went when you did transitioning and stuff. Like, we've been through a few with our previous churches and stuff, but this transition was, I think, fairly easy, even with the pandemic. But
and I think coming back to a place where we knew people helped. Like, I said this a couple times, I couldn't imagine going to a church as a first-time lead pastor and not knowing anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that was huge for us.
That was, like, even for me, meeting new people, I always get so nervous. And I, like, usually kind of hold back a little bit. But here it was just kind of, we came and we just, like, it was good to see familiar faces and meet some new faces. And it just, that really helped with the transition.
And even as we were like, so I guess when I say that we are going to come and observe, we just want to come and observe ministry because we wanted to, one of the things that our previous lead guy had told us is go in and make a huge change to the building, like just upend something. And so like end of January, the guys show up and we double the size of the kids' room. I think we had like one council meeting in the old room, and then like 2 weeks later, the guys showed up and knocked out a wall and like made it way bigger in there. Renovated what is now my office. That was the kids' room there. And then that was just the start. Like, we knew we wanted to make some huge changes. And not only huge changes, but finish some stuff.
Just finishing, because there's, I guess, like, for us as the new people coming into the church, we just saw a lot of little things that were so unfinished. And we just want people to come in and feel welcomed and feel like this is the place to be, even for their kids. And, yeah, we just wanted to refresh a few things and clear up a few more places just so that we could use the rooms even as best as we can and use what we have for ministries.
So as soon as we were out, we weren't living here anymore. The room was done. Pandemic hit. We moved in, moved out, and then we basically started sizing up the foyer for renos and sizing up Redverse for renos. And so, and my plan was to just put a coat of paint on the foyer. That's all I wanted to do. Let's just change the color. You know, everything else seems to be good. Let's just change color. But other people had other things in mind.
Hey, don't look at me. Like, I also wanted to just put a fresh coat of paint on because it's just something about lightening up a room. And then Kendall Joe just went all out. And so thank you, Kendall Joe, because it was cool how even, like, her ideas kind of, like, yeah, I had some ideas, but I wasn't going to, like, make it happen necessarily because I didn't want, I don't know. But Kendall Joe, just like everything she was saying, I'm like, yes, I love this idea. So thank you to Kendall Joe. Because she had, like, she even had a paper of how it would look and everything. So that was a huge blessing, especially with even the color in the kids' room. Beth was helping with that, too. Like, we had so many people that were just like, yeah, let's help. Like, Tim and his crew, that, like, little things wouldn't have happened without those guys just kind of stepping up and saying, hey, I'd like to be a part of it.
And the guys coming and doing the light in the middle here, like in the sanctuary, like Clarence and Brian and Blair and
your parents coming.
Yeah, my parents driving 3 hours to come help with all this. And then even like Clarence coming in and finishing like the chair guard and the banners. And then in Redverse, like Kevin. We said, Kevin was huge in that. Like he rebuilt that sound booth to something that's functional and the guys actually like using. The painting, the banners over there being all framed up. And
if you missed anybody, everyone who has helped, it's been a huge blessing.
Yeah, and I think everyone helped in their own way.
Totally, totally.
I guess the other major overhaul we did was to the sound system.
Yes, yeah.
And that was tough because we had to retrain all of our tech guys because all of a sudden we were doing things differently. We had a live band. Which wasn't supposed to happen until fall.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Like, for me, like, yes, I love worship and I would want to be a part of it, but I didn't want to change things right off the hop. Like, I wanted to just kind of sit back, see what, you know, the talent and that God has given people in this church, and then move forward. And, yeah, we were going to start the band more in the fall than before then. But then even when the pandemic hit, it was kind of the green light of, you know, let's do this. Let's get this started and then slowly add more people and more the council.
Yeah, I have to say, like, of all the volunteers and everyone who, like, a huge shout out to our council. Because with the pandemic, we wanted to keep the circle small. And so the council, you know, one or three or five, all of them, like, at different points, different council members were here every Sunday when nobody else was.
Yeah.
Like, I was here, and Michelle for a while was here because she was sleeping on the other side of the accordion wall. But, like, and then, you know, the council comes, and they're the worship team, and they're the tech team. And then, we brought on John in the fall to kind of help offload some of that stress. But, like, the council has stepped up and led in admirable ways.
It was, like, that I think was a huge blessing, even just kind of watching it unfold. Like, having, you know, Kim, like, all the talents that each of the council members had to be able to still run church online, but yet keep it as tight as we could. And as it was awesome. That was truly a blessing.
Yeah. That was awesome. And with all of that, like, I have to add, like Jim and his support and his, like, man, there's a reason that I don't do his job. You know, like, I love what Jim does. And he, at times, I was like, you know, should we really be spending that money? And Jim was the one who was like, where's your faith? Okay. That's how we're going to play that. Okay. Okay. So then, like, he was pushing me, which was kind of cool. I appreciated that. And Jim, you know, he's always been a huge support of Michelle and I. And so we love Jim. And that's been awesome. And then the addition of the Dakus as the janitors, yeah, that's been awesome.
That's been...
They've got a lot of things done that kind of were like, eh, we'll get to it later. And they just took it on. And so we really appreciate their support and the work they've done.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, like, our staff has grown.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. And it's exciting to see, like, how many, and, like, there's still so many little areas where I think God's just going to take over this next year. It's gonna be good.
And I think the other thing, like, so we did all our renos, the worship ministry just kind of transformed. And the other big one that is kind of a huge success is our small group ministry. Mm-hmm. Like, we took small groups, and we, not that we had never done small groups at one church, but we never did it the way we've done it, right? We've never had the gathering, instead of like buying a material and going over it, like, these, here's what we listened to on Sunday, let's do a deep dive of what was talked about. And like, so July was when we had our first small group. July 22nd, I think I had it written down. July 20th, because everything happened on the 20s.
Yes,
right? We
yes,
saw that, right?
Yes.
So yep. July 20th was our very first small group out at the Canets, yep. And then the Browns, and then the Brownlees had one, and then later Redverse added one, and then in the fall we added the online one. So, like, for us to get to five small groups in the short time that we did was a huge success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, would we have liked to have more? Absolutely would have loved to have more, but the way we did it had never been done before, and it was all new, but everyone you talk to loved small group. They loved the way we did it, and so...
It was so needed in the time, especially when we were, you know, like, keep your bubble small, do everything. Like, that community that came with the small groups, like, mm-hmm. I've definitely seen, even when you did the mat chats and stuff, like...
Oh, yeah,
just
I did those
needed
for a while.
Those little times of just connecting, and it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to have that up.
So, like, in close, like, I to wrap up, I think we hit all the major points of what we accomplished this year. There's a few things that we wanted to do. Like, we had a guys trip planned to go to Saskatoon and see Dude Perfect, and that got canned, and we were going to go see For King and Country, and that concert got canned, and you know, we had other things that we wanted to do. And I think the big thing, as I look back on 2020, is we could really dwell on all the stuff that we didn't do because of a pandemic. We can look at all the things that happened because we got shut down, we got locked down, we had to wear a mask, and da da da, and we just be negative and just be like, 2020 was awful. But I think if you look back, I just can't help but see all the good that God has accomplished.
Yeah, like, even for myself, like, yes, me and Matt were dating when we were first here as a youth pastor, but even for myself coming in and wanting to do lady stuff, like, it didn't happen, but yet if I dwelled on that part, like, I know I had my moments where I did, at being at home with my kids, and then also the baby on the way, like, a month after we moved into our house, That was a transition because I was a bit sick, but just the whole wanting to do stuff and getting the lady together, and it didn't necessarily happen. I could have dwelled a lot more on that, but even just the little, you know, the coffee times where a couple of the ladies got together, like, you can always look at the negative, but there's always positives when it comes to the seasons.
And I would say 2020... did not go according to plan.
No.
That's kind of the theme of 2020.
Nope.
There's no plans, because there's no point. Every time you had a plan, something changed.
Yeah.
But I think even though it wasn't our plan, it was definitely God's plan.
Yeah.
and good things happened, and God still worked, and God still moved in lives, and lives were changed, and connections still happened, and growth happened, and yeah, it doesn't work the way that church normally worked. We couldn't measure numbers the way we normally measure numbers. We couldn't do things the way, but you know, there was a stirring that maybe it was time that we looked at things differently. And if nothing else, COVID has forced us to look at church differently.
Totally.
And we have learned some lessons, and there's still lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
But I think the worst thing we could do is just sweep 2020 under the rug and hope it never happened. Like, that's not, that I think that would be a crime against what God has accomplished.
Yeah.
In this year,
even like every time that we would sit down and talk about stuff, like my thought, I was like, God, what are you trying to do in this season? And it was kind of just the whole bringing it back to Him. Like, what is the main reason that we go to church? What is the main reason why we live life? And it is literally to be Christ followers, but yet have a personal relationship. I know with myself, like, that has been something that I struggled with, and just kind of like, okay, like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? But then He just, the peace that He brings, the joy, it's just, it's good to see. And so even with being in ministry, just learning how God's like, trust me in this season. And even, yeah, throughout this whole year, we saw it in every little detail or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Alrighty, Psalm 66 says, come and see the good that God has done. And as we said in the video, and as is the temptation, we have two options as we wrap up 2020. We're going to look back and see how we had to take out most of the chairs. We're going to look back and we see how we weren't able to do the ministries that we normally do. We look back and we can see, oh, Christmas was ruined. And we look back and see all the bad that is done. But with Psalm 66, I also think of Colossians 3 that says that we as believers are to set our minds on the things above. And we continue to look through our earthly eyes, and we continue to look through the physical circumstances. Yeah, we're going to see a bunch of negative. But I think we need to be reminded, and we need to be encouraged. And as we wrap up this year and as we reflect back, I know it's going to be harder for some than for others. But to look back and be like, this is what God has done. This is what God has accomplished in my life. This is what God has accomplished in our church. As we said, God has accomplished a lot of really good things. God used a lot of really incredible people to help us accomplish the things. There are things that we did this year that we normally wouldn't do if we had a regular, busy church schedule. But because of the slowdown, because of the quiet, we got a lot accomplished this year. And we got to reach out to lives that maybe we wouldn't have got to reach out to. And we still had new people show up. That was like, new people weren't supposed to come in a pandemic. And we got new people. And we got people to come back. And we, against all odds, God still moved. God still did what only God can do. And we as a church, believe it or not, are actually stronger because of the lessons that has taught us. And the question I ask for you guys, I don't have a slide, you're just going to have to remember it, I'm sorry, is what is the good that God has accomplished in your life? What is the good that God has, maybe it's not as evident, but you can see God working behind the scenes. God still moved, God still did good things, He's still speaking good things into your life. Come and see the good that the Lord has done. So what is the good that the Lord has done? And maybe as we close out this year, maybe the good that God has done has been poking at your heart and speaking to your mind and drawing you closer to Him so that you could come to this moment today and be like, you know what? 2020 maybe wasn't the best year for my life. It wasn't maybe the best year for my faith, but I've got a couple days to finish out strong so that I can start the new year on a high note. I can start the new year with a revived relationship with Jesus. I can start the new year with a new habit of reading my Bible or praying or just listening to worship music or just, or maybe just serving my neighbor or serving my coworker. What is something you can start now so that when 2021 hits, it's already a habit, it's already in process? But as I said in the video, I think it would be a crime. I think we'd be doing God a disservice if we just pretended 2020 didn't happen. We just forgot all the lessons that we learned. We just walked away and said that it was just a bad year. Let's just forget it, because the history books won't forget it. In 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, they're going to still look up, open their history books, and 2020 will still be there. They'll still read about COVID. There's still lessons that they will be learning. So what are the lessons that we can learn? And by extension, not only can we learn, but what are the things we can pass on to our friends? What are the things we can pass on to our family, to our kids, so that they see the silver lining behind the dark clouds. They see a good God at work, even when life is messy and it doesn't make sense. Let's pray. We don't have any music. This is kind of a different service. We just wanted to kind of look back, share Michelle's and my perspective. And there's a lot of things we didn't say that we could have gone on for hours. Like, we could have just, but we didn't want to eat up the whole morning. But we did want to highlight the good things that God has done. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, 2020, from all of our human understanding, didn't make any sense, and it didn't go according to plan. It didn't go the way it was supposed to. And even for, as a church, for the first year with a new lead, things are supposed to be different. But God, you weren't caught off guard. You weren't surprised by any of this. This was all according to your plan, and you, as I said, have accomplished great and marvelous things, not only in one church, but the church as a whole. God, may we have learned our lessons, may we grow in wisdom, and may we continue to seek out the good things. May we look back on our journal entries, and may we look back on the notes that we took and the things that we did and the pictures that we took, and just see the good things that have happened. As we said throughout all of Advent, may we have this exceedingly great joy that is just contagious. And when the world wants us to be down, we're actually up and we're excited and we're loving and we are going to do great and marvelous things in your name. God, we love you. Thank you for the year that we had. And thank you for the good things that you're going to accomplish next year. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.